Hey everyone, this is Brian Lynch. It is May 29th, 2008, and I'm here to answer more questions that you guys posed to me a while back. Listen, I'm here to answer questions that you guys posted on my blog. I don't know why I tried the whole ways back thing. It made me sound stupid. Starting the podcast off on a terrible note, 20 seconds in and you guys think I'm an idiot. I totally apologize for that. Let's move on, though. A bit of good news. Every month, Diamond puts out a list of books that are the top 10 reorders, which is when stores don't buy enough of the comics that come out every week, then they can reorder them because they sold out or they don't have enough to meet demand. It's usually all Marvel and DC. Number 10 this month was Serenity, which is pretty awesome. And number 9 this month was Everybody's Dead, which is amazing to me because the book is, you know, it's kind of a small book and the orders originally weren't that big, but the reorders for every issue are really impressive, which means that while stores didn't really know about the book or have much faith in the book, the readers definitely knew about the book and are continuing to buy it. And I thank you guys so much for that. That means a lot because, you know, that was a lot of work, and I'm real proud of the series, and it's cool to see that word is spreading. So thank you very, very much, guys. Let's start with the questions. I think we're starting with Pat today. He thanks me for doing it, and it's awesome. I thank you for listening, especially after that whole ways back ordeal that I started off this podcast with. That was just embarrassing. First question from Pat, what is your writing process like? Do you have elaborate plans on how each issue will be written? Yeah, definitely. Even Everybody's Dead, After the Fall, you have to write an outline, and then you can have fun, you know, filling in the blanks and writing the story and the script and the dialogue, but you have to start with an outline so you know where it's going. Yeah, especially with After the Fall, because I plotted it with Joss early on, and I know that he knew he was going to have a huge workload coming up, so we did all the heavy lifting early, and we basically knew where we were going, so now I can just go crazy with the plans we made. Number two from Pat, Ryle spoke about two super secret Brian Lynch projects, one of the newly acquired license, one of them being a newly acquired license for IDW. One of those projects was revealed to be Spike After the Fall. What is the other? I can't say yet because it's not announced, but also I don't think I'm writing it. It was either that or Angel, and I had to keep going on Angel. I didn't want to, you know, co-write it with somebody else for the rest of the series or hand it over. I want to see it through, and, you know, the story got bigger and longer, and I wasn't about to abandon it, so I actually gave up the other project as much as that hurt because... also, just, you know, screenwriting is my day job, so I couldn't take on too many comics. I really only have time for one. For now, that's the Spike, and took over the second one, and Angel is kind of the main one. So time is already kind of something I don't have, so I had to drop the other one so I could keep doing Angel. Kind of sad, but also great because I get to see Angel through, and I get to tell this huge epic story. So... it's a sacrifice, but it's totally worth it, I think. Number three. Pat wants to know if Nick Runge's version of Beta George will be closer to Euros or the painted cover from, I believe, issue 6. It's definitely inspired by Franco more than anything. It looks kind of like it's taken right from Franco's art. Not traced, but definitely that style. Definitely used Franco as his inspiration when he drew Beta George. Number four from Pat, what cover has been your favorite from the Slay Alive Stephen Mooney competition? I really like the one with Gunn and Gwen. I think visually, it's very, very cool to see them together again, kind of, and you see how evil he looks, and over her shoulder, kind of. It just looked really foreboding. Also, I really like the Wesley standing over his own corpse cover. I like anything Stephen does, though. I'm a huge fan of his. I love his Connor and Kate stuff, and really like his Mummy series that's out now. You guys should check it out. That answers that question. Let's go to number five. How excited am I that the trade paperback will actually be a hardcover? Yeah, I'm very excited about that. I think that's really cool. Although I like trade paperbacks in the same way because you can, you know, not worry about denting them or ripping the cover or anything and breaking the spine. But I really am excited that's a hardcover. It's going to look cool. And, Pat also wants to know if it's going to have script and commentary. It has something that original that I've written for it that starts off the book. an intro that I think you guys will really dig, but it doesn't have page-specific commentary. And the reason why, not only... It's two things, really. It's time, because when I wrote the ones for Spike and... Well, Spike after the... Spike Asylum and Spike Shadow Puppets, the series was done, so I could look back and talk about it, whereas I can't really write commentary while I'm in the middle of it. And also... Asylum and Shadow Puppets, originally those were done so we could point out the little in-jokes and Easter eggs. And with After the Fall, it's a direct continuation of the series, so pretty much the whole thing is a, you know, reference to the show. So it would have been weird to write. I think, you know, maybe down the line, maybe other series, maybe First Night I'll try if I have time to do it. But no, the hardcover doesn't have that, but I think it has the script to the first one, first issue, and it has notes that I wrote for the first issue, and it has... something original that I've written that's, I think, 2 pages, and it's really, I don't know, it's really sweet. I think you guys will like it. It's not sweet like, oh, that's adorable. It's sweet like, cool, like the hip kids say. Okay, thanks, Pat. Now, Chris has some questions. How do I feel with the strike being over, and how do I feel with the deal the writers have gotten? I think it is wonderful, and I'm just so happy to be writing again. I'm happy with the deal, and I'm so happy we don't have to pick it, because that was really boring. And also, I was engaged at the time to a movie executive, so it was kind of like West Side Story, where we were on opposite sides of the picket lines. Not that West Side Story had picket lines. Although I think the movie would have been better, and the play, if picketing was involved, instead of gangs. But now she's my wife, and now we get along, because we're not. I'm not picketing in our bedroom every night. Next question, from Chris. In the White Room back in issue 5, is that the senior partner speaking to Wesley, and speaking to the fake Fred in issue 7? If it is not the senior partners, it is definitely a middleman for the senior partners. It's somebody getting the word out for them, or it is them. We'll see more about them, I believe, in issue... Well, a lot coming up, actually, but issue 12, we'll hear more from them. Number 3, the Fred Elyria plot. Is this another element from Joss's plans for season 6? Yep, that's some of the stuff that Joss laid out immediately upon talking to him. Chris also loved the return of Kate. How did I come up with the idea of bringing her back? How did Joss react? I don't remember Joss's specific reaction, even if he had one to that. I just knew we needed a character that could directly influence Connor, but was actually allowing Angel to indirectly influence him. So I thought Kate was the best character for that, because she was definitely helped by knowing Angel, so we needed somebody that fit that criteria, and she carried out the plans. Or she carried out the plan. I don't know who else could have done it. Angel's helped a lot of people, but I don't know. It just fit. And it also opened the door for more Kate stories, which I think would be fun to write and fun to read. And I hope you guys agree. I think you guys should demand it. I'll wait. Did you demand it? It went well, right? It was received very well. Cool. Number 5, the Slayers. Are they a nod to the larger Buffyverse? In a way, yeah. I mean, the whole series is a nod to the Buffyverse. But yeah, definitely. There's a payoff to that, too. I think you guys will think it's dark and cool. It's coming pretty soon. Number 5 again. Chris has 2 number 5s. I think I'm supposed to pick my favorite. I'm going to do both, because I'm that kind of guy. Chris says, who would you say is the most tragic character in After the Fall from these 3, as it stands right now? Wes, Fred, Elyria, or Gunn? I'd have to say Gunn, but that changes from day to day. I think maybe because I wrote Gunn all day yesterday, but yeah, I think Gunn, I mean, they're all tragic. I don't know if there's a character in the book that's not really tragic. I guess Beta George. No, he's captive. It's the dragon seems happy. Let's go with him. He's not tragic. I guess I'm going to go with Gunn. Yes. Okay. Number 6, what are your thoughts on the latest developments in Buffy season 8? Do you have your own guesses as to who Twilight is? I do. What are your thoughts on the upcoming Buffy-Frey crossover arc? I love Frey, so I'm excited that that world is coming back. What was your reaction of the Buffy-Frey crossover news breaking on the heels of the future flashes of Spike and Angel? I thought that was pretty cool, but at the same time, it led to a lot of emails and posts asking if it was a direct either shout-out or foreshadowing of what happens in those books, in the Buffy books. No, and it's not that. But it was cool. I thought it was neat that we had a synchronicity almost by accident at that point. Have any thoughts on Buffy Satsu and what Joss has said about them? I just want to see where it goes. I think it's been handled really well so far. It was funny how it blew up in the media. I don't I don't know why, really, but I guess it was a slow news week, but it was a very well done story, and it's just funny that the media gets all in a titter if two girls hook up. I think that's funny. Not that I don't get in a titter if girls hook up in front of me, but it was very strange. The New York Times was getting excited about it. Maybe New York Times is, like, run by frat dudes now. I don't know. Next question. Any thoughts on the various reactions of fandom over it? I've learned that fans have reactions both ways to everything you do. Of course people are going to love it, and people are going to get up in arms about it. That's how I feel. But, you know, it means people care, so that's awesome. You could put out a book and nobody would respond, which is frustrating. Not that that's happened to me, because God knows I've had books that have sold tens of hundreds of copies. Okay, next question. What do you think of the latest events in issue 14 and the death that looks to have happened at the end of the issue? I thought it was heartbreaking and surprising and, like, everything that I like Joss's writing to be. Not that he wrote that arc, but, you know, Joss's world, that's when you know you're reading a Buffy book, when you feel that way. And then you'll laugh. I'm sure the next couple pages in the next issue, it'll be awesome and hilarious and crowd-pleasing, and then go dark again and make you want to cry and crawl in the fetal position. But that's the wonder that is Joss. Next question. Who would win in a fight, Angel's Dragon or Dawnzilla? I think Angel's Dragon would definitely win. Right? I think so. I think Angel's Dragon is a huge fan of Eurotrip, though, and would probably cut Dawn some slack for that. Number 8, what would your question be to the Paley Fest Buffy panel if you were an audience member? Probably be something for Charisma Carpenter and, like, why she thinks it's cool to insist on that restraining order. It's like, get over it. Like, okay, sure, I showed up on your doorstep. When kids showed up in doorstep on Halloween in funny costumes when I was younger, I didn't call the police. Sure, it wasn't Halloween, and I wasn't really necessarily wearing a costume. And it wasn't your doorstep so much as your bushes, but I don't understand why you have to get bent out of shape for that. Charisma, just lighten up is my point. I'm going to do one more question because I'm not ending on a Brian is a stalker note. Let's go with Sophie. We'll end with this one. Sophie, love the Kate story. It was great to see her again. What inspired you to choose her as a character to bring back and feature in First Night? Basically, what I said before was we needed a character that Angel had influenced and was a positive kind of influence on their life so they could pass that on to Connor, and Kate seemed to fit the bill the best. Next question from Sophie. There'd be so many fantastic covers for the Angel and upcoming Spike books. Aren't there? I know, it's cool. What are your elements that go into coming up with cover ideas? It's basically I write down like 5 or 6 for every issue, and then either Franco will pick one, or the artist that's doing it that's not Franco will pick one, or they'll go off on their own, or they'll be inspired by something I've written in the description of what the issue's about. Franco and I have a good shorthand right now, where I think the first two Spike covers, the first one was definitely just me and Franco saying we needed a triumphant Spike, like on the ledge overlooking hell picture. The second one was me, definitely, was to plug Spike into the first Angel after the fall cover. But the third one was all Franco. He knew where the series was going, and he knew where it was headed, and wanted to do that as a cover. And it's just beautiful. But basically, it's always a collaboration between myself, the artist, and Chris Ryle. So that's the answer to that. Is that a good answer? Kind of rambly. Next question from Sophie. Also really enjoying Everybody's Dead. Thank you so much, Sophie. Do you have a favorite character to write? That book is chock full of my favorite characters to write. There's not a page where I want to just get through it and get to the next person, because I love writing all those guys. Westerberg and Mosby are the ones that I think are most directly inspired by me. But Jack Campbell's kind of the character we all want to be. Kind of the Bruce Campbell, Ash, from Army of Darkness and Evil Dead kind of character. I mean, then there's Aurora, who's the kick-ass girl surrounded by all the meathead frat dudes. So, like, there's so much fun to write. All of the characters are fun to write in that book. Then Sophie asks, if you could have someone from Everybody's Dead crossover in a one-shot or something with one character from Angel, who would you pick? I don't think it'll ever happen, because Angel is this huge monster of a franchise, and Everybody's Dead is more like independent kind of comic, almost. in that it's got a little fan base that's very dedicated. But I have it planned out in my head. I would love to do that book. I think Jack Campbell versus Angel would rock. I think Angel would house Jack within seconds. I think Spike giving Westerberg tips on women would be awesome. An Aurora being really into Spike would be so much fun to write. I think I would love to write that. I think everybody's Angel would be a lot of fun to write. Last question from Sophie. When is Everybody's Dead 3 coming out? Oh, Sophie, that is out right now. And hopefully you've picked it up and are enjoying it. I'm not going to end with that one. I'm going to keep going. What do you think of that? Let's go. Not This Girl, Not This Day asks, hi, Brian. Not a question. Sorry, guys. I just want you to say, first of all, I'm totally in love with your writing right now. Thank you so much, Not This Girl, Not This Day. I'm totally in love with your name. I think it's a beautiful, very long name. And I might name my firstborn Not This Girl, Not This Day Lynch Esquire. I absolutely love Everybody's Dead. And that is the only non-Buffyverse comic I'm reading right now. Thank you so much. The other non-Buffyverse stuff I was reading was Runaways, but it's non-existent right now. Yeah, the schedule's kind of wacky. Your voices for everyone in After the Fall feel so spot on and just comfy. How do I do that, basically, they're asking. I'm just a huge fan of the show and watched every episode before I got the gig, watched every episode after I got the gig, so I just want to do a good job and make sure they're and can kind of just play. If you watch it enough and you love the characters enough, you can kind of plop them in the situation and know how they'd react. It's definitely getting to a point now where I've written the guys enough that I don't have to watch the show while I'm writing, but I still put it in because I love watching it and I love it to inspire and seep into my writing. Even when I'm not writing Angel, I have Angel on sometimes. I think that answers the next question about, do you watch the shows religiously? Yeah, I used to. I don't really watch it so much anymore. And that's actually interesting in that if you... I watch it... I would say I watch it maybe like every 2 weeks. I put them in all day while I write. I've definitely put it in while I was writing The Sims. But I used to watch it actually more. And now that it's so a part of my day in terms of writing stuff, I don't watch as much as I should. That's going to be interesting when the series is over to become a fan of it again, which is kind of cool, to just watch it for entertainment as opposed to watching it for research. I look forward to that. Next question from Not This Girl, Not This Day, or as I call them, NTG, NTD. How much involvement does Joss have with Spike after the fall? Well, it's basically just carrying out the storyline that we set up very generally in the first couple of issues. So he had a say in the world that was created and the situation Spike's in, and I'm kind of filling in the blanks, much like we do with Angel after the fall, but I definitely have more of a say in Spike after the fall, as long as we hit the notes that we have to get Spike to a certain point, so he is what he was in Angel after the fall number 2, if that makes sense. This is, and then they asked, this is canon continuity, correct? I think it is. I have to admit to, I don't care about canon. I know that sounds so weird. I put as much work into Asylum and Shadow Puppets, which back in the day were not canon. I don't care if they are right now. I think people are guessing that they are. I just want to make a good story. So I never cared about canon. For me, there are more interesting non-canon Star Wars comics and novels than the first three prequels. And the novels aren't canon, but the prequels are. So it's like, as long as they're a good story, I don't care. I know a lot of people do. I never did. I never was like that. I know that's a weird opinion to have on getting to write a canon book, but I just want them to be good. I just want people to be entertained and love them. Wow, there's got a lot of questions. This is going to be a long one. Do you feel like a kid in a candy store getting to write a whole canon Spike series? I just love writing Spike on his own anyway. So yeah, it's fun. About Everybody's Dead, are any of these awesome, hilarious characters based on people in your life, or do they come from Line of Lynch? They definitely are. They're an amalgam of a ton of different people in my life, from college, from high school, now, currently. Definitely, Aurora has been inspired by my current wife more than she was when I wrote her. Aurora was a bit of a different character before I met my wife, and now she's kind of like take charge and more in control, which is what my wife kind of is. I don't think she listens to these, but I think she'd be happy to know that I think that she's take charge and in control. You guys should meet her. She's pretty much a ball buster. And if a zombie attack broke out, I would want to be behind her. And if there's only one shotgun, I'd let her hold it, because she'd probably be better than I would. That was a tangent that I went off on. Should I keep going? All right, I'm going to keep going. Look at this. Aneezy asks, what relationship dynamic is the most interesting fun to write so far? Hold on, it's got an IM. I'm just going to minimize it so it stops popping up. Wow, I don't know. I mean, there's so many that I like. I'm a big fan of Angel and Connor. I'm a big fan of Angel and Spike. I'm a really big fan of Wesley and Illyria. I'm a big fan of Spike and Illyria. I don't know. I just wrote a lot of Angel and Gunn, so they're in my head right now. But I have to go, Angel and Connor was the most surprising to write, but I really like writing the exchanges between Wesley and Angel. Next question, what relationship's dynamic? That's the first question. Wow, I am babbling. Have we seen the best, in your opinion, After the Fall plot twist, or is it still pending? I don't know. I think there's a bunch. I mean, there's definitely some surprises coming up, but I didn't rank them. I think maybe Angel being human is a tough one to beat, but I think the best story twists are coming up. Who are your favorite characters in the Buffyverse? My top favorite characters in the Buffyverse? Always been Angel. Always been Spike. Definitely Xander. Wesley. I think that's it. And to write, Lorne and Grusalog are really surprisingly so much fun to write. So I'd have to go top Angel, Spike, Wesley, Xander. What's your opinion about fan fiction? I love it. I wrote it when I was, I wrote it when I was younger. Not Buffy stuff. I wrote tons of stuff, like Star Wars, Muppets. One of my first stories I wrote was Kermit and Mickey Mouse team up to fight Darth Vader. I think that's the best kind of stuff. It comes from the heart. It's, you're doing it because you love it. I sold a Muppet script that I wrote for fun. It was technically fan fiction. It fell into Henson's hands, and it started my screenwriting career. So, yeah, I love fan fiction. There needs to be more of it. I love it. I love that people do it. It's great. Do you write in a linear fashion, or do you write whichever scene? I definitely write in a linear fashion. I've never written just random scenes and then try to connect them. Or I definitely scripts for movies, TV, comics. I always write linear. Are Gunn and Gwen going to meet up at some point? I think that may happen. What can you tell us about Angel After the Fall ending? I'm not going to tell you anything about it. Just that I'm dying to write that issue. Actually, you just talked about writing out of order. I think I could write that final issue, and I kind of want to just to get to it, because it's going to be beautiful. I'm so excited to get to it. But the journey there is also fun and very dark, and it's really, I don't know, I'm just excited. Every issue now, there's something big. There's a ton of stuff in each issue that's huge that I get to finally write, and I don't know, it's kind of thrilling. Thanks, Aneezy. I'm just going to keep going. This is awesome. Captain Cranky Pants. Uh-oh. I hope this guy's not all sour pussy. Did Spike ever pay back the loan shark, the kittens he owed them for season 6 of Buffy? I would think he did, because the loan shark talked to Spike in issue 4, and they seemed okay with each other. Are the loan sharks fishy minions the Sunnydale swim team? If they are, that is awesome, and that is Franco. It wasn't in the script, but that's awesome, and if they're not, we should have done that. Is the Lord that looks kind of like the Tusken Raider the shaman that Giles is friends with from Buffy? No, it's not. Again, unless Franco has written that it is. I want to do a Lord book so much, like a guidebook of all the creatures that we came up with for After the Fall. That'd be fun. But somebody else should write it, because, man, that's a lot. In issue 3 of Buffy, we learn that vampires are immune to telepathy, yet George seems to get past this. How so? George is super powerful, my friend. They actually have said that. I believe Lorne has said, you're a vampire, shouldn't be allowed to... Lorne, I mean, Beta George has said, I shouldn't be allowed to do this, but that's how good I am. And that's also one of the reasons why Gunn wants him, because of the potential that George has. If George can do that, George can do more. There's a little hint as to what's going on. What was going on through Angel's head when he challenged the Demon Lords to a battle? Did he already have a plan? Did he actually have a plan, or was he committing suicide? I think Angel was so fueled by the events in the last 3 issues that he had enough, and he was basically slapping them with his white glove. He was saying, this is where I take control back. And did he know? He didn't know at that moment how to work it out, but he probably knew that he could get out of it, or he hoped. Was he suicidal? Was there a piece of him that was like, oh, if I die, I die? Yeah, there's definitely a part of him that just wanted a resolution. And no, he didn't want to die because that would mean that people were in danger and he couldn't save them. But at the same time, he's willing to risk his life for it. So that's where that was. He had enough. He had to take extreme measures. He decided to do it. That's how he went about it. Wesley was surprised. I was surprised. Wait, no, I wasn't. I knew it was coming. Next question. I have trouble believing that Angel actually thought he could take on a T-Rex and a She-Skip, even with a fancy sword. Yeah, but he did pretty well. You'll have to admit, he was actually doing okay for a panel. I really like Wiseau from Asylum. He was an awesome villain. How old is he compared to Spike? I don't know. Let's say he is much older. He's dead now, which is kind of sad. He's not coming back. Thank you, though, for liking Wiseau. That was cool. What's the process involved when you want to use a Buffy character like the Lone Shark or Slayers? Do you have to ask permission from Dark Horse? Hold on, I'm going to take a drink. No, I don't have to ask Dark Horse. Lone Shark, I'm pretty sure, was never going to pop up in a Buffy book. And Slayers are kind of, I mean, basically it's doing like, if you're doing a book in the Buffyverse, chances are there are going to be a reference to Slayers, so I think we're good. What's the deal with the future Spike holding this scythe? Will it be significant? Is it the scythe? No, it's actually not. If you look, it's black. And a lot of thought went into that one panel, but my whole thing was that Spike has fashioned himself his own version of it, like a homemade one, because he liked it. That's where that went. Maybe we should have put, like, tape and masking tape on it. That would have been kind of cool. Are werewolves, dragons, Splendid Beasts different types of demon, or are they separate creatures entirely? They're separate creatures. Is Wesley's corpse out there somewhere? Yes, Wesley's corpse is definitely out there somewhere. I believe we'll be seeing it. I just gave some spoilers. Can you post a photo of your sideburns on your next blog entry? All right. I will. I mean, not the one that's with this, but I will. You can see him at myspace.com/Brian is fairly awesome. There's tons of sideburn pictures. Thank you so much for wanting to see my sideburns. And they thank you. The left one thanks you. The right one's a real jerk. So vampires in Hele constantly feel like they're about to burst into flames. And they feel euphoric at the same time. Does euphoria come from the full moon? Basically, it comes from the fact that it's night and day. Night has one effect on vampires. Day has the other. So they're kind of a little ornery. They're always on edge. Right? Right. Do vampires go to the bathroom? I don't know. I actually never asked Joss if they go to the bathroom. Let's assume they do. Right? They have to, or they can't fill up on stuff and then never let go of it. Will this issue be explored in depth in After the Fall? It's something I've often wondered. It is not going to be explored in depth. I learned my lesson from the shaving scene, so no, there's not going to be an Angel bathroom scene. I'm keeping Angel out of the bathroom. Sorry. The demonic residents of Hele, such as Burge and the giant spiders, were they previously living in L.A. or were they previously living in a strange hell dimension? I think that Burge was probably in L.A. and he was a low-rung demon that kind of saw his opportunity and took it. The spiders, who knows, they were probably like little creatures that were, you know, kind of amped by L.A. going to hell. That was a good group of questions. Should I keep going? I'm just going to keep going. Remember when I said I was going to end this about 2 years ago? What's the deal with Connor getting his memories back? Didn't he already have them? No, he didn't. He didn't have them since birth because nobody really has them since birth. Connor had them before birth. He had womb memories. He has full on everything that's ever happened to him. He remembers. So he remembers the hell dimension that he was with Holtz. He remembers being in the womb. He remembers Cordelia holding him as a baby. That's what happened there. Wesley is doomed to never be happy, is he? I think that's true for everybody, isn't it? But they keep fighting, and they keep hoping they get there, and that's what makes them awesome. I think they deserve a little pockets of happiness every now and then. I think I'm more of an optimist than Joss in that way. Well, he's an optimist. He's a romantic, but I don't mind happy endings. If you take people through terrible situations, you should get happy endings. That said, sometimes happy endings just aren't in the cards, right? Right. Okay. Then an easy answer to question. Let's go to flash disk. What was the plan of the senior partners in the apocalypse? I think that's all coming. That's more of a TV show thing, huh? I kind of know where I'm going with what the senior partners want. I'm not going to go into detail on that because I don't want to give anything away, and I don't want to tell you what the senior partner's plan is in general because I could surrender that. Okay, in your opinion, was Angel's actions correct, taking into account that L.A. ended up falling into hell? I don't know how Angel could have predicted that this would have happened. But, he'll never think that he was in the right for doing it, but, yeah, I don't think he was in the wrong. What's so important about Earth that being such as senior partners want to have it? I guess we'll get into that later. I mean, that's a lot big. It would be awesome, though, if I just revealed that in the blog. Actually, don't. It's a really good question, but I can't answer it. Is it really the Earth they want or the people in it? So you're asking the right questions, my friend. It seems that senior partners have a large influence on Earth for quite a while. What changes did they bring about human civilization? You're asking me to come up with a brief history of Wolfram and Hart's effect on Earth since the beginning of time, which is an awesome idea for a novel, but not for coming up stuff off the top of my head while answering questions in my blog. That's a good brief history of time. What was it? Well, for whatever the answer, whatever the name was beautiful. And Flashdisk and I are going to write it hand in hand. Have the powers that be fought back against the senior partners? Yeah, I believe they have, and they will continue to, as long as they can. How do the senior partners become so powerful? You want to know everything about the senior partners. We should have a prequel book all about them. See, I believe the senior partners used to be a little slave boy on a planet called Tatooine, and the senior partners earned their freedom by pod racing. But then they fell in love, and their mom was killed by sand people. No, vampires. And then they turned evil, and they fell in lava, and they became cyborgs. I just gave you gold if anyone wants to steal that and write an awesome fan fiction. Can Wesley gain the same ability that Spike and Pavane did when they were incorporeal? No. They really... Wolfram and Hart pretty much neutered Wesley. It seems Spike is making a team of super vamps, making them fight Slayers as training or to weed out the weak. Why does he need such a strong team? Because Good also has a strong team. And if he's going to throw down, he wants the best people backing him up. Are they really that strong that they can go to toe-to-toe with Slayers? You'll see. You'll see what happens. Are we really going to see how powerful Team Gunn really is? Yeah, and we're about to see how powerful Gunn really is. Will Gunn be dust by the end of the series? I'm not revealing what happens to characters on my blog. That's weird. P.S. Could you have Angel keep the flaming sword? It looks good. Right? It does look really good. I love the flaming sword. We should bring it back. It's actually Gruselag's, though. Gruselag gave it to him. Flaming sword's cool, though, isn't it? It would be a good little accessory if there's an Angel After the Fall action figure line, which, God, that would be cool. All right, I think I'm going to end there. Any topic of action figures kind of, you can't top that. But I want to thank you guys very, very much. And if you made it to this point, let's see how long this one is. This one is a half hour, like 34 minutes. So thank you. I'll take more questions later. I think we have a bunch more still to go. But thanks for caring, you guys, and thanks for listening. And if any of you transcribe this, dear God, you're a saint with a lot of time. Wow, because I babbled. That's 34 minutes of babble. I'm just going to keep dragging it out because someone has to type this part if they're transcribing. I should use really big words, but I'm all out of big words because I'm so tired from answering questions. Now I'm not even going to write today. Look what you guys did to me. We're coming up on 34 even. I'm going to stop it right about now. Bye, guys. Thanks.